John chapter 3. Very familiar passage of Scripture. This is going to be where we're going to start from. Most popular Scripture in the Bible probably is John 3:16, and that's actually where we're going to get started. Beginning in verse 1, John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God was not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Let's just stop right there. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that this passage of Scripture is so familiar that we can become deaf to its truth. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd open up our eyes and our mind in such a way that it has a big impact on how we look at people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the most important thing is not being good. The most important thing is not being religious. There's a lot of people that are good, and there's a lot of people that are religious that have not come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he can do. In fact, our city is filled with religious people. And in a lot of cases, they're unbelieving religious people. You know, some of them have very, very strict practices that affect what they eat and how they operate their schedules in their lives, but they are not ones who believe. And Nicodemus, when he came to talk to Jesus at night, he was about as a religious a man as you could possibly be. If Nicodemus was standing right here and I could introduce you to him and we could talk in a frank way and notice everything, you would notice that Nicodemus's religion is reflected in his clothing that he is wearing, the way he is keeping his hair and his beard. It affects the words that he chooses. It affects the schedule of his day, the flow of his year, the food that goes into his mouth, and everything about how he operates in his life. Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus was a good man. I'll bet you if you knew the things that he did in life, you would come up with a tremendous list of things he did. He was recognized, Jesus called him, as Israel's teacher. There are those that have put this together and saw him as maybe one of the leading teachers of his day. There's a good chance that the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, were books that he may have completely memorized, because that would be something that would have been studied and a goal they would have worked towards from a young age. When it came to the laws, he would have lived a life that probably would have been close to flawless. But he comes to Jesus, and Jesus is basically telling him that if he wants to see the kingdom of God, he has to start fresh. Jesus did not pat him on the back and celebrate all the good that he had done. Jesus told him that he needed to start again. He needed to be born again. All the religious practices he did, it's not like there was anything wrong with those things. But all he had was those things. He needed something that only God can do, and that is a changed heart. I think as a church, we need to think about what outreach and evangelism really is. Getting someone to come to our church is not outreach and evangelism. I mean, it's a start. Because unless there is a transformation of the heart that only God can do, all they've done is come and got to know us and like being a part of our social group. In fact, they may buy in on a lot of our teachings and try to be a better person. And that's a good thing. But they'll be missing out on the pearl of great price, and that is having a heart that has been changed and made new. And the only way that you come into a life like that is when a person comes to the point where they make their mind up, and let's just use these words, where they really are going to be all in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us into a relationship with Him that the only way we can experience it and know it is when we put our all on the altar, where we give Him all of ourselves. I have a lot of people that are in my life who aren't church people in this community. And one thing that always drives me a little bit crazy is the way it's very popular today for folks. You date somebody, and if you like them, you think you really like them, the next step is moving in together. The idea is that you get to see if you're really compatible, and you get to see if living under the same roof kind of works for you. And I got a fella that I'm really good friends with, and he's been living with his girl for 5 years, and he just proposed to her. So I'm like, okay, so you've been living under the same roof for 5 years, and you've now just come to the point where you're going to be engaged? And he goes, yes. I'm like, okay. And he said they're planning on getting married within 2 years. I said, 2 years? You haven't made your mind up yet. He goes, mostly. And I'm like, what are you waiting for? And I guess in his mind, I guess he's waiting for the perfect time and the perfect place. I can't help but, you know, think about my kids. I mean, they found someone that they loved. They became convinced that they wanted to spend the rest of their life with them. An engagement took place. They got married. And then you try to figure out what it means to be a couple together. And that's the fun thing. No one is ever prepared for that. I mean, you just... And, you know, those first few months of marriage are really interesting because, you know, you figure out what your place is and you figure out how to relate with the other person. And over time, you guys figure out what us is supposed to be. But he loves her. She loves him. And together they figure it out in love. That's how it's supposed to be. But there really is sort of a leap of faith that takes place. He says, I'm giving my all to you. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you all of my worldly possessions. I'm giving you my body. I'm giving you my name. I'm giving you my family. I'm giving you my future. And she's like, I'm bringing everything that I have in life. I'm bringing my family. I'm bringing my heart. I'm bringing my hopes. I'm giving you my body. We are going to become one. And it's just a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing when God takes those two and and being all in with Jesus is kind of similar. We used to have, the church I pastored in Maine, we had someone who was, he was like one of the most faithful people. Never, ever missed church. Always tithed. Never missed. Tithed on every dollar he earned. If he did a special event, he was always there. If he did church dinner, he always made green bean casserole. I've eaten his green bean casserole a zillion times. But did not take communion, ever. And I remember at one point I sat down and had a conversation. I said, what's going on here? He goes, well, I'm not saved. I'm like, you're not? And he goes, no. I said, why not? And he goes, I'm just not ready. I said, you have been going to church here forever. You never miss. You give and you support everything. You've been a part of everything. He goes, yeah, but he goes, I guess I'm just not ready. And I'm like, what are you waiting for? He goes, I don't know. In fact, I talked to his pastor a couple of years ago, and I asked him, I said, is he taking the step over the line yet? And he says, nope. Now, I want to tell you, this guy really deserves an award for his goodness. But the only way the changed heart can happen is when you make your mind up, you're going to be all in with the Lord Jesus Christ. But just like in a relationship, when you give yourself to another person, it means that you're closing off a lot of other things. It means that, you know, your dating life is over forever. Just you doing your own, a lot of your own individual things, that's kind of over, because now, you know, you talk and you decide the things you're going to do in connection with the other person. And when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, there's just a lot of things that you can't really do anymore, because there's the ways that are not in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, they just kiss. You have to just ask him the question, is it okay if I do this? And I'm a part of these things. And if they're things that would make the Lord Jesus Christ uncomfortable, then they're something that we just don't do. You know? And I remember some of those conversations early on in my marriage. I remember Tammy, it's like, I really don't want to be there, and I really don't want to go there. And I'm like, how come? And I just remember I remember situations where she's going, that doesn't make me comfortable. So I'm like, you know, would try to talk about it. But then I made an adjustment, because my life is connected to her. And I think that there's some folks that just don't get the idea that a changed heart is what it's all about. It's not just about trying to be a better person. It's that transformation that needs to take place. And I think sometimes folks can come to church and they can come to church for a long time, but that heart change hasn't happened. And maybe in their heart of hearts, they know it hasn't happened. In their heart of hearts, rather than knowing that they are living in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they know that they are just trying to do good. And there's a difference. Because when we have a changed heart, you're going to know it's been changed. And your motivations aren't going to just be because you're just trying to be a good person. It's because he's made the real changes on the inside. And so Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he's got to be born again. And that would have been a tough thing for Nicodemus because he was raised to do things in a certain way, and he had been living a certain way. And in so many ways, he would have been somebody that you would have given an award for the type of life he was living. And Jesus was telling him that all that he had done up to this point wasn't enough. He had to be born again. And being born again means starting new. So he was going to have to take all these things and set them aside. And he was going to have to be born into the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to figure out, now what's my life going to look like now that Jesus has saved me? How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and born of the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Notice that where it says Spirit gives birth to spirit, the first word Spirit is capitalized. It is God's Holy Spirit that gives life to our spirit. It is not just us trying to clean our act up. It is not us just trying to cut back on our swearing or cut back on our behaviors or cut back on our going out and partying, whatever it may be. That's not what it is. It is God's Holy Spirit coming within this life of us and making us alive on the inside. But that doesn't happen unless we are all in with Him. He says, You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. For the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. Jesus says, you are Israel's teacher. And he was recognizing the fact that Nicodemus had all the training and had all the head knowledge. But see, that wasn't enough. Verse 11, I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, we testify to what we've seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if you speak on heavenly things? See this, ye must be born again. It's something that it's freely offered, but it requires our all. You can't know what it's like unless you are all in. And being all in is an all-in commitment that I am going to believe and I am going to love and I am going to serve. And let's bring in the big one. I am going to obey the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm going to make a lifestyle out of that. And going to church and just trying to learn to do good works is just, it's not it. You have to have the regeneration where His Spirit makes yours alive in order for you to know what this is like. Amen. One thing I want to close with, if you've got your Bible handy, if you turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews 11, they talk about people walking by faith. People who are walking by faith are people that have made their mind in that they're all in with God and they're walking with Him. And sometimes people like that just don't make a whole lot of sense to this world. Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. They were sure and they were certain because they were trusting in God. It's going down through the list. Talks about Abel trusting God and giving his offering. Talks about Enoch in chapter 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what is this faith we're talking about? It's not just knowing who God is, because even the devils have that faith. It's a faith where we trust Him with our lives, and we make our minds up that we are going to listen to Him, and we are going to follow Him, and we are going to belong to Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith, Noah built an ark. And I'm sure there were plenty of people who thought, what in the world are you doing building an ark? By the way, there's no water right around here. If you're going to build a boat, shouldn't you be building a boat down where the water is? How are you planning on getting this boat to the sea? And I don't know how long it took him to build that, but I imagine it took a long time. And I imagine that Noah had a lot of questions that he had to answer. And I'm sure there were a lot of people that lived around him that laughed at him, and they thought he was the stupidest person who lived in their town. You see, because people that are not people of faith look at things that people of faith do, and they don't make sense. You know, like, why did you stop doing this? God doesn't want you to do it. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. Abraham. What's it say about Abraham? God called him to go to this land that will one day be his. It says Abraham obeyed and he went. I'll tell you what, Abraham had a heart. He had a belief, he had a faith. And it wasn't just an idea in his head. He obeyed and went. He made his home in the promised land. He looked forward to a future that God had promised him. He was enabled to be a father, although he was very old. And I was thinking about that. I thought, what in the world do they mean by that? Enabled to be a father. You know, how does faith involve itself in that? But I know there are couples that, you know, they come to a point in life where they think that certain things in life have just passed them. And God told Abraham, you may think that the period in life where you could have a child is gone, and your wife may think that her period in life of being able to bear a child is gone, but I'm telling you what, this is a time to go out and to fix yourself up really nice and go out on a special date. And you have a wonderful time together because God's got a promise and your age is not going to stand in the way of this thing. I can just imagine it. I can imagine his wife saying, what are you telling me? What? But they believed. Isaac passed on the blessings. He blessed Jacob and Esau. And he told them the same thing that Abraham said. This place that we're living in with all these people around us, there's one day it's going to be ours. And sons, I want you to remember this. God has made a promise to this family. Jacob came along afterwards and he blessed Joseph's sons. Joseph. Before Joseph died, he spoke in faith. And he says, there's going to come a time when our people are going to have to leave Egypt. And when the time comes, I want you to take my bones out of this place. Because Egypt is not where God has promised we're going to be. He promised that Canaan is going to be our place. We're just in Egypt for now. And Joseph died. And 430 years passed until the Exodus would take place. 430 years. I mean, think about us as a country. How long's America been around? 1776 to now, what were we around? 240 some odd years, right? It was 430 years after Joseph died until the Exodus took place. And those people remembered God's promise, and they held on to God's promise because they were people of faith. Moses' parents had faith. They disobeyed the king's command. And Moses lived. Moses ended up being raised in Pharaoh's household. Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Even though that would have given him all these wonderful privileges, he refused because he knew he was a part of a people of promise. He chose to be mistreated as if he were a Hebrew himself, because he knew he was. And so going back to old Nicodemus, Jesus told this guy who'd been living his life all this time and done all these good things, and he says, you need to go back and start from the beginning. He's like, how could I go back and start from the beginning? He goes, that's the only way to be born again. Start again by being all in with me. I'd like to ask you, if you would, if you'd bow your heads with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we do live in a very religious community. We drive by the houses where they get the Hindu flags at one corner of the house. Drive up a couple of houses and we'll see the Buddhist flags hanging. We see people down by the beach at the morning, sitting in prayer position, watching the rising sun. There are folks that are so concerned about doing good in this world, and it's good that they are. But Lord, we know that you haven't called on us just to be good people. You called us in relationship with you. A relationship that begins with a changed heart, which is something that only you can do. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for all of us. I know, Lord, just by looking from the outside, I don't know the condition of everybody's heart here. Only you do, Lord. I know from the outside, the things I see a lot of very good people. But Lord, I know the truth is that only you can give somebody a new heart. And I pray, Lord, if there's any in our congregation who have not experienced this, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that your truth would be speaking to them loud and clear, and that they would not be able to get away from it. Because, Lord, I know that friendships, I know that popularity, I know success in education, success in the workplace, success financially, that's not where it's all at. It's all at being in relation with you, with a new heart. So I ask you to bless our people, and then I ask you, Lord, to bless those that are connected to us. Help us, Lord, to reach the religious unbelievers in our community, good people who really need a new heart. And that can only be done by you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being here in our service. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.